to turn me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 16. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. When you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And he spake a parable unto them, beginning at verse 16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a rich man bought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? In verse 18, he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thou soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? We're going to have blessings for reading in the words of the Lord. Heavenly Father God, we thank you, Lord God, that after the songs that have been done, Father God, that the word of God must go forth, Lord. So we come praying, Father God, to search us. Remove anything right now within us that should not be, Lord God. We come praying, confessing, Lord, that we all have fallen short by word, by thought, by deed. We thank you that you have more forgiveness in you than we have seen us, Heavenly Father. But Father God, we come praying that you would unstop our ears, we're able to hear the revealed word of God. That you open our minds, we're able to process that which is revealed. And most of all, give us a yielding spirit, not just to be hearers, but to be doers of your word. We made even a better condition than what we arrived from. We have truly heard a word from on high today, Father. We come pray that you have your way in everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name, church, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I gave you a handout this morning with the scriptures on there. There's a scripture on there I want you to look at. And I'm going to give you, go through the scriptures with you. And I'm going to give you your notes according to this sheet. This is not a text yet, but I need to give you the background. I need to really frame this message this morning in regards to it. I want to show you how to be blessed, how to move yourself into the favor of God, how you can block your blessings, and how you can lose your blessings. All right? Let's look at the first one, Proverbs 18:21. And it reads, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now watch this. Death and life. Life is prosperity. Death is, the opposite is not prosperity. You can speak life into a relationship. You can speak death into a relationship. I'll help you. I'm never going to find a good man. Right? You're speaking death upon yourself in relationships. I'm always broke. Amen. You're speaking death upon your finances. I'm never going to have good credit. You're speaking death upon your credit. Now what? I feel like I'm dying. You can speak death upon your own health. So if your first note is, I need to watch what I say. Write it down. I need to watch what I say. Alright? Now watch this. Look at the next one. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now here's what happens. Not only are you speaking it, now you're conducting yourself based upon what you said. Not only are you speaking being broke, you're walking as if you're always broke. Not only are you speaking bad relationships, you're conducting yourself and walking that you're like you're looking, like you're going from Mr. Wrong, waiting for Mr. Wronger. Or you're going from Mrs. Wrong, looking for Mrs. Wronger. If there's such a word, I'm going to say it anyway. Amen. Now you're walking like you're broke as a joke, can't even pay attention because you've unspoken. Now, also, you're casting it into the atmosphere, and now you're conducting yourself, and you're making a self-fulfilling prophecy, what we call it. You're prophesying to yourself, and you're filling that prophecy. Here's what happens. If you've been with the wrong one, you need to start speaking, I'm going to wait for the right one, and walk as if the right one's on the way, even when you can't see.
Amen.
You follow me so far? So point number two, I need to watch how I walk. I need to watch what I say. I need to watch how I walk. And watch this. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But my God shall supply all your needs, shall supply all your needs according to riches in glory by or through Christ Jesus. Write this down, you know. I need to stop being anxious. Amen. Anxiety is sin. Anxiety occurs where there's a lack of absence of faith. People believe that God can cure cancer because they don't have cancer. But if you had cancer, would you have enough faith to believe that God can cure you of it? I'm going somewhere this morning. With me so far.
Amen.
Luke, so watch this. So I need to stop the anxious. Luke 1:28, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. They're talking to Mary. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Watch this. There's two words here. The first word, let's deal with blessed. Write this down. Blessed means needs are met. Favor is always more than expected. You with me so far?
Yeah.
I'll help you. You're blessed to get a new car. But your blessing is based upon how much you qualify for and how much of a down payment you can put down. Favor says, I don't care about your down payment. I don't care about your credit score. What car do you want on the lot?
Amen.
You follow me more than expected. That's favor. Now I'll help you this morning. Favor is not fair, but it's fighting. So where other people are blessed just to get into a job interview, favor says, I'm coming to claim what's mine.
Amen.
You with me so far? So watch this thing. So, we're done with that one. Now, here, let's go to Luke 6:38. And I'll read to you again. So Luke 6:38 says, give. Most will stumble right there. Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom, for the same measure that you meet withal shall be measured back to you again. Watch this. The same way you give, it shall come back to you. The reason why most people can't give, because they don't know how to give. The reason why most folks can't give, they haven't learned how to give. Christian folks have no problem in taking from God, but they have a real struggle when it comes time to give it back. Now to give means to invest. Now your giving is not always money. It's about investing in somebody else. Invest in someone else, and God will return that investment back to you. So your note here is, I need to learn how to invest. I need to learn how to invest and slash and stop being so selfish. I need to learn how to invest and stop being so selfish. You're going to see where this goes in the message this morning. Matthew 7:6. And watch this. We just saw where it said in Luke to give, right? Now Matthew 7:6 says, give not, right? It's crazy. Give, but now it says give not. It says, give not that which is holy unto the dog, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Wow. So what's this saying? This is what it's saying. As God is blessing you, everyone is not worthy to share what God has blessed you with.
Yes.
You got to be able to discern who's worthy to be blessed by you and who's not worthy. I'll help you. You have a friend that works who's not paying their rent with their paycheck. They're going to pay their rent with money they borrow from you. If they do pay rent with money they borrow from you, they're going to really pay you back. If they can't manage $50, how are they going to manage $500? One of the greatest lies that believers love to tell, Lord, if I had more, I'd do more. No, you wouldn't. Lord, if you had more, you'd just mess up more. Pray to God. We all become the greatest witnesses when we're broke. Lord, if you just bless me with a few more, Lord, lie, my pants on fire.
Yes.
So it says, give not that which is holy to the dog, neither cast your pearl before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. People have no idea at times what it means to receive blessings from God. And they cannot appreciate what you're doing for them. The scripture says, the very ones that
that you turn their blessings over to will be the very ones that will turn on you.
Yes.
Think about that. Have you ever helped somebody and when you couldn't help them again, they got real nasty, talked about you, turned on you?
Yeah.
But you got two types of folks. You got one who will say, you know what, even though this person has money, I'm still going to pay them back. You got the other one that says, they got money, they get it, I give it to them. Really? I have a cousin. I haven't had a cousin. I lent my cousin money. I had to borrow it back to pay myself back. It's a shame you got to borrow money from the person you lent it to just so you can get it back from them.
Amen.
Right about so far. Let's get to the text. Let's look at Luke 12, 16 through 20. Watch this thing. Today, we're looking at a very familiar text commonly known among theologians as the parable of the rich fool. And I'd like to use for a thought this morning, a sundown shocker. A sundown shocker. Amen. Now we'll take notes in the back of the bulletin, right? A sundown shocker. Amen. The rich fool. You have to admit that's a strange label to give a man who was resolutely successful while the rest of his peers were living hand to mouth. This farmer knew how to build a hedge fund. And when he was determined never to go hungry like his neighbors, instead he achieved the ultimate success. He finally reached that comfort level he so desperately desired. He now had plenty of rainy day reserves. Watch this. His neighbors would say he was set for life. Is that what life is all about? Are we born to work hard and to accumulate as much wealth as we can before we die? I guess to some that sounds good. But let's look more deeply into the facts surrounding this rich fool and see if that's all there is to life. Parables, church, are a teaching moment. Amen. And Jesus fashioned this parable around four formidable problems of this rich farmer and how he handled them. Problem number one, the farmer's prosperity. Jesus began the parable with the declaration of a success. He says in verse 16, he says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. It appeared that this man, by cultural standards, he was already rich. And his field, once again, yielded, the Bible says, plentifully. In the original Greek, plentifully, euphorio, which means to bear well or be fertile, is the root word of our own English, euphoric or euphoria. In the Hebrew, it would have been rabah, which means to multiply by the myriad. Jesus is painting a picture of a man who finds himself with substantial wealth. He went from rich to super rich, from more than enough to having too much. And I imagine this farmer was happy glad. Jesus chose a wealthy man for his parable because he was planning to make a point here, but it's also a good way to get people to pay attention to what you have to say. Wealth has a certain ring to it, doesn't it? There are a few of us who would not want to be in this man's shoes or his sandals. It was then, no different then as it is now. Everybody follows the money, and admit it, we all want the money, honey, don't we? Amen. There's no way we consider wealth a problem, would we? If you won $1 million lottery tomorrow, your first thought would not be, how am I ever going to handle all that wealth, would it? Amen. When it comes to riches, affluence, fortune, opulence, bling, we all say, bring it on, don't we? Amen. So why is this man's wealth a problem, or as we say, and I'm getting an issue? Amen. The issue is that as a godly man, he has to decide how he's going to respond to this new arrival of wealth. He can't ignore it. He can't pretend it's not there. Remember, Jesus is teaching us something this morning, and he wants you to see that the farmer's eyes are focused on his wealth. His plenty is all that he sees. Are you feeling this farmer yet? Amen. You should be, because this rich farmer is you and I. Watch this now. Problem number two, the farmer's puzzlement. Look at verse 17. What shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? I'm going somewhere this morning. It's decision time. That's the trouble with wealth. You have to decide what to do with it. Amen. It has to be stored somewhere or spent on something or invested somehow. The rich man was a farmer. His windfall was grain. I know it says fruit, but he didn't of a bumper crop.
Amen.
What a problem to have.
Amen.
Most of us wish we could find ourselves with a bumper crop of anything of value, especially cash.
Amen.
It would take us about 1 minute to see this, not as a mess, but as a miracle.
You know how we get. As soon as money comes in, the first thing we yell, thank you, God, you were right on time.
Yes.
Amen. This rich man says in the verse, what shall I do?
Amen.
That would not be your first thought, would it? What shall I do? Is that after you cash the check or before? Is that after you buy a new car or before? Is that after you pay off your house or before? The problem is not what to do with your excess. The flesh can figure that out quick enough.
Amen.
The problem is letting your wealth become the focus of all of your attention.
Amen.
For some Christians, a sudden windfall like this would be exposure time.
Yes.
My God.
Amen. Wealth has a way of ripping the cover off a fake faith smoke screen.
Amen.
And will reveal the real person that you actually are. See, it's very easy to be humble. We don't have a whole lot, is it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But as soon as we start getting a little headway, getting a little extra dough in our pocket, we start acting funny, don't we?
My God.
Some Christians discover that it's things they really worship and not God.
Yep.
Amen. For too many, wealth has a way of squeezing God out.
Amen.
And you wonder why you say, well, Lord, how come I've never had a financial breakthrough? Because God knows if he gave it to you, he will lose you.
So true. So true.
My God, the Bible says, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul in hell? The rich farmer's problem was that he was puzzled in the first place. He should have instantly known what to do with the leftover grain. At the very least, 10% of his bumper crop should have went to God. At the very least. And then beyond that, there were plenty of poor farmers he could have blessed who didn't fare as well during the growing season. Even more widows and orphans looking for some help.
Problem number three, the farmer's planning. Look at verses 18 and 19. Problem number three, the farmer's planning. Look at 18 and 19. And he said, this I will do. I will pull down my barns, build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Verse 19. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast money laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.
My God.
When the rich man hit his lottery, he had two things on his mind. Building and banqueting.
Amen.
Putting up more barns and partying.
Amen.
By his response to his problem, it became crystal clear that this man truly was a fool whose cash hadn't come. He was duped by his dough. He was bamboozled by his bread. He was misled by his moolah. And his loot was about to teach him a lesson.
My God, I'm going somewhere this morning. So far.
Watch this thing now. And this is the same problem that we have. Come tax time, our dough gets us duped, doesn't it?
Amen.
And think about this. How many times have you had a windfall of money, messed it up and say, God, if I had that money again, I would do things differently?
Yes.
Only for the next tax season to come, and you do the same exact thing over again. The first thing on your mind is party and trying to live a life that you really can't afford to live.
My God, watch this. Jesus teaches that it doesn't take too much to lose your way if you don't stay focused on God. The world's pull is a powerful enemy. Satan will convince you that you're entitled to live a life of ease because you earned it. And in a flash, I'll have you thinking, why shouldn't I spend my money on me? It's mine. And somebody felt that way.
Hey, man, it's my money. I earned it. Understand me. Money only has spenders, not owners.
The Lord giveth, the Lord will take away.
Amen.
Watch this. I remember One talent worth $1,000. It's the master's money, but he loaned it to his servants to be used in trade. All three servants received a generous loan. Even the servant who received one talent, because $1,000 was a pretty generous sum in biblical times. All three understood that the master was making an investment through them. He had a right to expect a return on his dollar. Two servants invested wisely and gave the master just what he deserved, a good profit. But the third buried his $1,000 in the ground, and when the master came collecting, the servant had no profit for his lord. What's the lesson? Here's the lesson. The blessings you receive from God are loans, and God expects a return on his investment. Amen. They are meant to be shared and to be multiplied. Amen. How are you doing with God's investment in you? Are you a squanderer? Amen. Lavish taste in a poor man's purse? Reckless? Wasteful? Extravagant? Careless? Do you hoard your cash? Bank every penny? Tight-fisted? Miserly? Stingy? God loves a cheerful giver who invests in his kingdom. And the problem with being stingy and tight-fisted, nothing can get out and nothing can get in. My Lord. Problem number four. The farmer's parable. Look at verse 20 this morning. Verse 20. Problem number four, the farmer's parable. And God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose things, who shall those things be? But I told you, a sundown shocker. Amen. I hear a farmer now. Wait a minute, Lord. I thought I had more time. And somebody might have the same cry. You're going to be crying out, wait a minute, Lord. I thought I had more time. Amen. You can't wait to get yourself together. Amen. God has to be the one to take control of your life and get you together. All you will do is die and go to hell trying to get you together. Fix can't clean filth.
Amen.
Filth can't clean filth. Who takes a dirty car to a muddy puddle to wash it? You take a dirty car to a place where there's clean water.
Amen.
That's what God is. God is fresh water for our dirt.
Yes.
He cleans us up. Amen. And like the farmer, don't let your money or your wealth or how well you're going to have you fooled into thinking that you have more time.
Yeah.
He said, wait a minute, Lord, I thought I had more time, but God had already spoken. Amen. This was the last season for him, this greedy and selfish farmer, to get it right, to stop all his hoarding and stockpiling, and to give his master a good return on his investment. This may be your last season of partying, blowing your money, not giving God return on his investment in you.
Yes.
My God, we are all God's tenant farmers. God blesses us and says, so, watch this. It's not your talent. It's not your gifts. It's God.
Yes.
God is the one who blesses us. Never think that you're so good at anything that you don't need God. Understand me this morning. It's God who makes the way out of no way. We got a lot of folks, a lot of talents undiscovered. Why? Because they're picking up on their talents and not God.
Amen.
God can move anyone from the uppermost to the guttermost, everybody in between.
Yes, Lord.
My God. We may think the harvest from his fields are ours alone. But it's just a loan. It's just a loan. God owns everything. I'll help you. Watch how God works. God, I have to tell you a story. I remember as a minister, I went through a period where I had knowingly stopped tithing in the church. I knew it. I stopped. And it was fascinating because I remember I drove to Bible study. And I came out of Bible study and my car would not start. And I was like, wow, it was amazing, and God knows the truth. And the amount of repair was just about what I had not been put in the church. I went to to get you to heaven.
Come on.
If you don't trust God to bless 10 cents out of every dollar, can you really trust Him this morning to save your soul and get you to heaven? My God. We have to learn that God owns everything. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the mountains and the valleys. He owns the air that we breathe. In every harvest, in every season of your life, God owns it. We're only the caretakers in His vineyard. And only what you do for Him will last. God is waiting for return on an investment made in you. By a generous nature, He loaned you a piece of His kingdom. He gave you talents to use in growing His kingdom. What are you doing with His blessings on your faith journey? Remember, I always say, are you discipling somebody or are you disabling somebody? You are the closest that the world will ever come to Jesus. How are you doing with your job representing Jesus Christ this morning? And are people going to God because of you, or are they going to hell because they're seeing you? Will you selfishly hoard His blessings, or will you obediently give of your time and talent to grow God's vineyard? Believe me, every person that comes to Christ as a believer, God has given you an assignment to perform in the body, and it's not to be the frozen chosen. There are souls yet to be saved. What a lesson Jesus taught us in the parable of the rich fool. The lesson is that God gives us magnificent merchandise to trade with. Spiritual wealth, secured at the infinite cost of Calvary and watered by His unerring love and redeeming grace. Then God says, go, enrich the world and save my people. Are you doing that? God has invested the uncertain riches of His grace in us, and Jesus charges us to shower on impoverished humanity. The rich farmer's sundown was a shocker, but joy doesn't have to be. His sundown was a shocker, but joy doesn't have to be. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope, in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. There is more to God's kingdom than what this world has. Amen. There is eternal life, and isn't that worth our soul's investment to nurture you on live forever? Jesus said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all